Today I will believe and confess that Jesus Christ was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. All right, that's a mouthful, but let me say this. You know, I was listening with Sister Miranda. Mr. Branson actually said, it reminds me of when Jesus laid hands on the man, and he asked him, what did he see? And he says, well, I see men walking like trees. So Jesus laid hands on him again so he could see straight, because he was blind completely at first. So Mr. Branson actually said that things had gotten better, but he was still having seizures here and there, and he wanted them all gone altogether. And I said, okay, we walk in that. I believe that. I mean, you know, so apparently he was getting them much more than he was. And so at this point, he's praying for complete deliverance. And I think that everybody has a right to that. You know, there are all kinds of different thought patterns that people have about things. You know, last week, you know, Brother Chris, he and I had a little conversation because he made a statement about, you know, different flavors of churches. You know, he said, well, he used to wonder why there was a church on every corner. And there are different flavors of churches. So we talked about that, so I was clear on what he meant by that. Because, you know, there's some things that just going on that just ain't right. And we need to understand if that's your flavor, you're off. And I don't mind saying it from the pulpit, you're off. People say, you can't tell people that. Well, I can say whatever I want from up here. You know, I mean, people don't have to buy it. But if you use the Bible, this is what we're going to use today, as we try to all the time. And I'm going to talk in first person, me. This has nothing to do with y'all. Y'all just watching. You know, I was watching there's a little show that comes on TV. And there's this young lady, she's a performance artist, they call. So people come to her house and pay, which y'all can come free, actually, pay to watch her perform. You know, she goes around and makes, just doing her daily duties, washing clothes, making tea, whatever she's doing. And they just watch her, you know. So I'm going to talk in first person about these things so that you don't have to get offended, you know. You can just listen, though, and you have to take it and think about it, though. Today, the title of my message over the last few weeks, last week I had a message that was entitled, the week before, Wherefore Didst Thou Doubt? Today, the title of my message is, Help My Unbelief. Help My Unbelief. And the thesis that I'm going to get at the end of this, I hope you'll understand, is that a person must acknowledge their lack of faith in God before real faith in God fills the gaps in their life. A person must acknowledge their lack of faith in God before real faith in God fills the gaps in their life. Go with me first to the book of Mark. We're going to read Mark chapter 9, and we want to read verse 17 through 29. Now, what I always tell people, and you know, is that I think that when you're doing this and you're dealing with spiritual matters before God, especially as humans, we have to make a decision up front to start. That first decision is, it's kind of like being on The Price is Right. There could be three doors. There is a door that's referred to as cessationism. And what that door basically says is, when the last apostle died, all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, all of the moving of the Spirit of God ceased when the last apostle died, and the only time things happen is when God decides to do them. That's the only way they happen. Then there's another door that's referred to as continuationism, where it means that even though the last apostle died, it doesn't matter they died, God is still God, and he can do what he said he does, and we believe he can. And then there's a door on the other side that basically says, we don't know what to believe, we just go to church. So you have those three doors you could walk through. And depending on which door you choose will basically lead you down to the doctrine you believe. It's kind of called, you know, self-confirming bias, you know, confirmation bias. If you're already biased in a direction, you look for things to validate what you believe. If you are not believing a certain thing, then you look in another direction. And so you got to be careful to ask yourself. I had to be careful to ask myself, God, what do I really believe about you? What door have I chosen to walk through? And as Sister Miranda said this morning in the devotional, I personally chose to walk through the door of the God of the Old Testament, the one that went and went, even though the children of Israel had been in slavery for 400 years, eventually the God in the Old Testament said, now is the time. And he came down and chose Moses and told Moses what was going on and said, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses said, who am I to go tell Pharaoh? He said, don't worry about who you are. You need to understand who I am. I am going to show Pharaoh. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you to go tell him. And after you tell him, I'm going to harden his heart so he don't let you go, so I can bust him up some. So when it's all over, I'm going to bust him up so bad that everyone will know I am the only God that exists. That's my purpose, God said. That's what I'm going to do. So I chose that door to walk through, that this same God did not vanish off the planet, that when he sent his son who did everything he did, they didn't vanish off the planet, all his words. So I use just what he said. I don't fill it in with my own thoughts. I used to, you know, the faith I had was faith in me. I've always been a very intelligent person. I've never, ever, ever got less than a B in school. Okay, ever, law school or any other school, never got less than a B. I always graduated magna cum laude or better ever since I've been in school. Even when I was in kindergarten, I always got A's. I never got nothing less maybe than a B. Never in any class, ever in life, in any school. I can show you my tuition. My transcript. I have degrees from law schools. I got degrees from colleges. I got a master's degree. I got degrees from seminary schools. I got all kind of stuff. I have always done great. When I went to high school and started lifting weights, I lifted weights so much in high school, I ended up with stretch marks clean across here. Looked like I had a baby in my shoulders. That's how big my arms grew in that first year, because I had determination that I was going to win and I was going to play varsity football in 10th grade, which I did. I was on the varsity team when I got to 10th grade, and I started playing because I was good. That's right. I was great. I was wonderful. There wasn't nothing I couldn't do. Even my girlfriends look good. Everybody kept saying, man, how you get them girlfriends like that? So how you gonna tell me what I can't do? Right? Now I acknowledge God on the side. You know how you do that, right? Every time something happened, I want to give glory to God for, you know, being able to get these A's and everything I've done. While you're really patting yourself on the back. And you know, you really know you did it. And even though you're talking about God, you know you ain't never pray. You know you won't be praying. You ain't doing none of that. This is all physical you. That's what's going on, sir, here. And so the bottom line is that, you know, it's great. Yeah, God needs me. He really does. I mean, because, you know, look at all these yahoos out here running around talking about God needs me, man. So you know what? I'm going to get on out there and do something for God. And you know what? Then things start happening in your life that you fail. Oh, my God, you failed? It can't be you failed because you failed. It can't be you failed because you didn't get it done. It can't be if you failed because you're not capable. You've always done well. My mama used to tell me, everything you touch, boy, turn to gold. Really, Mom, really? Now, she'll fuss now, but then she'd say, but just look at it. And I'd be like, wow, okay, great. But you know what? That sure didn't turn to gold. That relationship blew up. This happened over here. Why am I failing? Oh, I know. Look right here. I can find it. God does all things work together for good for them that love God. God did that to me so he could teach me something. Now, Brother Chris brought his son up here last week, and today is Father's Day, and there's not anybody in here. Brother Chris had got up here and preached and told y'all, you know, well, when William was 10, what I purposely did was, you know, did something to just damage him as a person. I damaged his personality. I damaged him physically. I damaged him so I could teach him something. All of y'all would say, child abuse, I don't want my kid doing that. Now, you can put your kid through rough lessons, but they come out on the other side having learned something, and you know what you want them to learn. Yesterday when we had the boys out, one of the kids, you know, doesn't matter who it was, you know, I told him, I said, you know, I'm going to show you how to use this blower now. He snatches it. I got this, Pastor. I said, okay, man, you go ahead, show him. He got to snatching. First, he almost whacked another kid in the head with it, and that's when Chapman was like, stop. You know, just put it down and try that. All right, so he put it down. He boom, 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 boom. He pulled. And I start feeling sorry for him because I said, you know this ain't right. He hadn't turned it on yet. So it didn't matter how he pulled, how much he pressed for gas, no matter what he spoke over that little machine, it was never going to start. And I said, you know what? I think he'll get the lesson if I go and tell him now. I said, son, you ain't even turned it on yet. And he just looked at me. Almost like he was a little angry. that I had allowed him to stand there and jerk on it for so long without telling him he hadn't started it. But I'm thinking, but you snatched it out of my hand. I didn't give it to you and say, here, try it. Now, if I'd given it to you and not given you any instructions, maybe I could see why you'd be mad if you was just pulling. But you took it from me and said, let me do this. I know what to do. And then you got to going. And it didn't work. You failed. But then when I told him that, he says, well, I don't usually use that kind. What yard you really been cutting in? Are you saying, are you just so full of your ability to take care of things? You just can't admit to me, pals, I ain't know how to turn it on. Just say it. Well, you know, I never needed to tell God, anybody, that I didn't know how to do it. Let's read Mark chapter 9, and let's read verse 17 through 29. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to your disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him and fell on the ground and wallowing, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came up to him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou deaf and dumb spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now go with me to Matthew chapter 17, and we're going to see the same scenario, but Jesus, we're going to get a little more insight into what he had to say to them when they asked him the question. Matthew chapter 17, we're going to look at verse 14. Matthew chapter 17, let's look at verse 14 through 21. Beginning at verse 14, Matthew chapter 17. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Last place, I want to go to the book of Hebrews. And in the book of Hebrews, we want to look at that, Hebrews chapter 3, and we're going to read a couple verses there. Hebrews chapter 3. When you get it over there, just say, man, we'll look at these together. Hebrews chapter 3, and we'll begin at verse 7. And they got it up on the screen for you as well. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter in because into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see then that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let's pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you once again for the opportunity just to come into your house and for the word of God. I pray and ask today that we'll just let the word of God speak for itself. Father, I attempt to do what I can to communicate, but I pray in Jesus' name that the Holy Spirit will rest upon that which is being spoken, so that if we may hear today what the Spirit is saying and not provoke you, Father, and move in unbelief. Father, we ask it even now in Jesus' name. Amen. I think about if I had been Jesus' disciple as these apostles were and I was walking along with Jesus at the time. Today it's a little bit easier because Jesus is in heaven and we call ourselves his disciples, but some just feel like it's okay to, you know, we got a different way we do it. That's okay if that's what they're doing. I'm over here talking about me right now today. So I'm walking with Jesus and I really want to be his disciple. I don't necessarily want to be an apostle. It doesn't really matter to me, but I do know that at one point in time, once Peter acted after the Holy Spirit came upon him, the Bible tells me that as I was reading it one day, I saw that the same Peter that ran from people, Lord, the same one that all of a sudden, go with me to Acts. Y'all put it up there in quick verse. I'll let them read it on the screen. Go to Acts chapter 3, and let's look at verse 1 through 8. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 through 8. There it is up on the screen for you. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, go to verse 12 for me over there, and that's where I'm going to deal with this. Look at Acts 3:12. Let's put that verse up there. "And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, 'You men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look at us so earnestly, as though by our own power, our holiness, we had made this man to walk?'" Okay, Lord, so it doesn't have anything to do with Peter's power or Peter's holiness, and now this man is walking. Whereas back here, when they're walking with you, the man, they merely bring a man to you who is being what? He's kind of possessed, it seems. He's being thrown. He's having seizures. This is what's happening to him. And they can't cast it out. And then they come to you and they ask you, "Why can't we cast him out?" And you tell them, "Because of your unbelief." Now, that's what the scriptures say. I mean, you know, it's one thing. I can sit here and make it all up to myself. All I want. I'm in my room, my study room, and I'm saying, "Yeah, Lord, but, you know, it's different today because, you know, there are lots of things going on. And what about, you know, the thorn that, you know, Paul had and all?" And he says, "Well, go read that." Okay, all right. And I go read it, and now I see that, golly, at least you told Paul what his thorn was and why he had it. So I guess if somebody's going to have something that they can't get rid of, and they're going to use Paul as an example, which is what they do, then Paul knew why you didn't take it away. As a matter of fact, Paul sounded a lot like I was talking. Matter of fact, Paul said, "Because you've given him so much, You have given him this thorn in his flesh to humble him because he really believes he got it going on like that. And he really did in a way compared to other men. But the reality is this is not God's power. You need to understand you got to walk in God's power, not yours. And then everyone has to be clear every time they see God's power move, it ain't you, it's God. It doesn't matter how good the sermon was. It doesn't matter how good anything was. It isn't you, it's God. It's not an A sermon, sir. It's not an A something, anything from you, sir. None of it will happen from your power. No one will be changed. Nothing will occur in this world because of your smartness or your cleverness or anything about you, White. It ain't gonna happen. Because if that's the case, you think you got more going on than I do. Because there's some folk I can't get saved. How you think you gonna save? You don't have the power. You can't do it. And imagine if you were able to do something and somebody got healed. Would you right now today believe that it was because me and me alone? Or would you think that maybe, just maybe, you kind of got a little bit more going on than the average person walking around? And because of that, this is why you do what you do. I'm talking to myself, you know, I'm just talking out loud. Hey, my mother-in-law has her whole front living room floor needs to be replaced. If y'all walked up, y'all see all that wood on my truck. I done tore her floor out. I done put Joyce in. I'm nailing and doing my thing. I'm doing all of that. Wow, really skillful too, aren't you? Okay, what you gonna do with that? You see, if you're not careful, White, you put a whole lot of faith in you. And therefore, there gotta have to be some things that come in your life that you can't handle. And no matter how you try to fix them, no matter how you try to act your cleverness to it, no matter how much you put your mind to it, it ain't gonna work, it ain't gonna change, and it ain't gonna do nothing until you finally break enough to know without me, you can do nothing. You give lip service to it. You talk a lot about it now. You'll say that. But a person must, and let's put the thesis back. White, you must acknowledge your lack of faith in God before real faith in God will fill the gap in your life. Like yesterday, spent way too much time. Got knowledge, know all about it, but I was out there running with the kids. I play in my boots. I got on these work boots. Running out, cut grass, did all this stuff, went over to the house, replacing all the stuff, trying to hydrate. But if you don't hydrate enough, biology will catch up with you. And sure enough, last night, one more opportunity to understand without God. My leg cramped so bad, my wife would tell you, I cried like a baby. I was like, oh my God, please, Jesus, you got to. I felt like killing myself. That's how bad it hurts. And I just have to limp over, and I said, Lord, I promised I would never do this again, and I don't know how I got here, but I'm here. So I'm trying to drink my little water, do my little thing, get in there, try to put some water on it. Oh God, I'm crying. I'm like, this is what it means when you're in the gap and you can't do nothing about this. God got to fill this gap. You can put your degree on it. You can put your faith on it. You can put whatever you want, but you have denied what should have happened. You lost too much fluid. You just got to deal with it. Got to preach in the morning. God, what am I going to do? Can't move. Oh my God, I got to get this message out there. I need the people to understand, Father. I need them to understand you have to get out of your own faith in you. Because if you don't, you're going to eventually run up against a wall you can't get over. And without God, without real faith in God, you'll never get over that wall. You'll never make it. Why? Because God needs you to understand it. We talk about prayer around here. Right now, we look at this thing, and Jesus, in two places, in one place, he leaves you thinking, oh, it's prayer and fasting. That's what he says, prayer and fasting. Well, most people, if you were to ask them, they can't check the box. They know they don't pray and fast. Not like that. Not on a regular basis. They live in a flesh world, and they live flesh. Come on, White. You live in a world, you live flesh. You eat every day. You're always doing your thing. You may not overeat, but you eat every day. You're doing your thing. You pray halfway. You do it in there. You don't really get down before God and say, hey, God, look, I need to get before you and stay here until I believe you. I give lip service to you, and I say it. I acknowledge you with my mind, just like I do everything else. But my spirit really doesn't believe. And the way we know it is because we're always looking for things to validate why you can't change your circumstances. So what you do is you say, oh, well, let me go cherry pick enough scriptures so when it's over, I feel comfortable that God is going to do it if he want to. And if he don't want to, then I just got to be strong and live through it. It's still you, White. I'm bearing my cross for Jesus. No, you're not. That's not what Jesus was talking about. If we go pull the scriptures, I don't have time. We'll see the cross he said you're going to bear is going to be all the stuff that comes at you because you've chosen him. Yesterday, I walked in the store with a hat that said, Jesus saved my life. Man, you should have seen some of the reactions I got. And I could tell if you were saved or not. Just by what some people would just look at me and almost angry, this angry look. But I still look like a person you don't really know if you really won't mess with me like that. Especially if I put them little matrix shades on. You know, they don't know. He got that Jesus hat on, but he don't really look weak, so I'm going to let him go. But I can tell from your face you don't like my message. But that's okay. It's okay. They don't really know, though. They don't know what's happening. That's the only reason why they don't just say something. You can tell. You can see it. This is the cross Jesus is talking about. Why can't the world just like us like they like everybody else? Why can't we just do things and it be okay? Why must we be the ones that always got to go on and tell them, I'm sorry, but that's not right? I know you're doing that, but that's not right. And then have everyone angry and mad and upset with us because we're just saying what Jesus said. What? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You can see why that's an offensive message. You're a sinner, and the good news is God came to save you. You're not, God ain't trying to put you on a self-improvement program. God ain't trying to not hurt your feelings. God is trying to keep us out of hell. So he sends his son to tell me, you're a sinner, you need to be saved. Okay, I get it. But God, I need help. If I was following Jesus, let me get in a time capsule and then go back. Lord, if I was walking with you while you were on the earth, I would hear you say to me after they bring this kid to us. Let's go back to Mark chapter 9 and we look at it. You can see it. They bring this kid to us. And then the man comes to you and he's crying. And then when he says in verse 18 and 19, he says, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spoke to your disciples that they should cast him out. In other words, they didn't even go to Jesus first. Say, look, let me talk to your disciples. Cast him out. But they couldn't. They couldn't do it. I can hear, see him now. Come out! Come out! Come out! Wasn't coming out. So today when we see that, we just say, well, you know, the Lord, he does what he want to do when he want to do. Well, how do we know when he want to? Well, you got to leave that to the Lord. Where did I read that? I'm saying to myself, I haven't read that, Lord. That's the problem. I'm smart enough, which is a whole nother issue. I'm smart enough to at least read. I can see right here if you just put it in there. Can you just show it to me? I don't want to have to sew up a bunch of scriptures. I don't want to take somebody's example where they say, well, remember, Miletus, Paul said he left Miletus sick. Oh, wow. So if Paul was able to heal sickness and he left a man sick, then, hey, maybe that's a good thing. I'm sick, but you know, because he was sick. No, read more, sir. I left him there sick because he overworked himself. It says all the other people didn't do what they were supposed to do in the church, and because he overworked himself, he's sick. But God had mercy on me and him and healed him. Oh, so God did heal him, but it was mercy God had on him because what? He really overworked himself. See, sometimes you got to understand, you ain't no Superman. Some of us think we are. No, ain't going to say that. I think I am. Oh, absolutely, I thought I was. Oh, yeah, I look, especially when I was young, I work all day. I'll work it in the ground and gonna get up the next day and go to work. That's what I do. That's just what I do. People say, you need me to help you to carry it? No, yesterday I loaded up my own 3/4 plywood. Anybody know how heavy it is? Go grab you a sheet. I loaded it up. I loaded my own 4x4s up, and everybody at Home Depot standing there looking, wanting me to say, knowing I'm gonna say, hey, can you come over here? I'll give you $10 for half a minute of work. No, sir. Load it, boom, get it on the truck, and drive off. Until you, boom, and, oh, then what? God healed me. Wait, stop. Why you ain't just call that man over there to help you? See, if you'd have called him over here to help you, you wouldn't hurt your back. Now you want me to heal you when your back is really messed up, not because what? Of some just thing that happened in life. Oh, no, you know exactly what not to do, but you did it. Why? Because I sure about to make sure y'all understand I'm not giving you a dollar to come over here and help me because you're going to want 20. I'll give you $20. I'll help you put it on that. Yeah, it ain't but 2 minutes of work. Right, but you can't do it. See that? They know that. They see it all. They know you can't do it, so they just wait. So then you really in pride, and you, but you get it, you say, and walk away. One more time. Pride, and then you're hurt. That's what happened to Miletus. He was left sick. Now, he might have been proud, but he was trying his best to work and make sure everything happened. That'd be like you coming around here. Pastor, I'm going to do it. You cut the grass. You vacuum. You do everything all the time, every time. You up on the roof. You doing everything. Oh, you all over the place. Then finally you pass out, and then somebody coming here, we got a prayer card. We just going to call you Brother Pass Out. We ain't going to say no names. You Brother Pass Out. What happened? Well, he was working so hard at the church, and they say he just passed out, now in the hospital sick. Oh, let's get a prayer request card and ask God to heal him. And then, you know, if he don't heal him right away, we say, well, you know, God do what he want to do. Yeah, like tell you to slow down. You know, there are rules out here in the natural that we should be doing, but we don't want to. That's not what we're talking about, so we can put that on the side. Because we can look at this situation and see, I'm walking with Jesus, and I say, but Jesus, when you asked his father, you said, and Jesus, I could hear the explanation, even though it's not here, but let's think about it. Jesus asked him, how long has it been this way? In other words, Jesus is now looking, in verse 19 he says, he answers and says, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. That's in response to being told my disciples can't do their job. Your disciples can't do their job. I sent them to your disciples. I brought them to your disciples. They can't do their job. Jesus says, O faithless and perverse generation, how long do I have to put up with y'all? How long is that? Bring them to me. That's like going to the restaurant and the waitress can't get nothing right. Nobody, you go up to them finally. We went the other day to a restaurant and I just didn't say anything. My wife said, don't say nothing. The owner came over and I think he came over to see how we was feeling. Because I wanted to say, I don't know why that food took so long back there. Because all of a sudden, he was over there trying to help us get it. That's when you know. When the owner shows up, they know something ain't right. Y'all been sitting there too long. They got their plate. They came after y'all. They got theirs. They came after y'all. Ooh, let me do some of my best customers. Let me get over here and fix this. But I didn't say anything. She told me, don't say nothing. I ain't going to say that. I wasn't going to fuss. But she just says, just let it go. So I let it go. But Jesus ain't letting it go. Like, you know, it could have been easy for Jesus to say, well, you know, look. They not me. I'm the man. I got this going on. I'm the Lord. Get out the way. Let me show y'all how to work. That ain't what he did. Jesus says, how long I got to put up with y'all? Oh, my God. So, Lord, if I was walking with you and whatever you had taught me so far, you think that I'm supposed to be able to do this. But I can't do it. Now, when Brother Chris brought his son up last week, I just think this is so great, all of this, how it goes. When I think about Lynch and Chapman and all y'all that got sons and Chris when he brought him up, it's kind of like you teach them stuff and then they act like they dense. Maybe that's a better way to put it. And like, did you hear what I told you? And then they do it and it just ain't what you said. So either you try not to do what I'm telling you, or you really don't understand, or I'm not training you well enough. But I ain't about to give up now. Oh, no. And Chapman is renowned. I find he was renowned in my mind. And reason, like sometimes he'll send me these little videos. They out in the front yard doing these, I don't know what you call them. They going like this. And I'm looking at his kid, and I'm like, man, that boy, he probably got two things going on in his mind. My daddy crazy, but I'm going to be trained when it's over. Daddy, I know what's happening, but when it's over, I'm gonna be good at this, right? And then they do their thing. Okay. Well, Jesus is like, look, watch me. Boom, watch me. Boom, watch me. Boom, and he's constantly, but also watch me. Remember when he went in the garden before he went to the cross? He had to come back and say, what is wrong with y'all? They sleep. Now, we'd have been up in here having prayer, and I ain't called no name. We praying out here. I want to get up and say, could you not watch with us just a little while? But then I didn't want to offend you because at least you came, I thought. Well, at least they're in the building. We get a little sleeping prayer. Y'all know how them prayers are, you know, where you praying and all of a sudden you thinking about something else and the next thing you know you realize you sleep. Okay, what is the Lord supposed to do with that? Watch me, Jesus says. I show up. I'm about to be crucified. I'm praying. That's what I'm doing. Some people are getting ready to get crucified on their job and they ain't doing nothing but talking. They not praying, they ain't seeking Jesus, they not on their knees, they running their mouth, they on Facebook, they sending out stuff, they talking, they doing all of that except what Jesus did. Then they wonder why it blow up on them. And when it goes wrong, and they're like, well, maybe that's what God wanted. No, 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 no. This is Father's Day, and I'm tired of people mocking God. It don't make no sense. That's like chap me tend to chap. Okay, his son go out there and he terribly performs on the field. Like yesterday, we were throwing the ball. He hit him in the hand sometime and he just look at him. Yeah, that was right in your hand. Then there were times he threw the ball and it wasn't the right. He didn't expect him to catch it. And I was over there going, quarterback, that's you. And he knew it. He didn't start hollering at his kid. Boy, what's wrong with you? You can't catch the ball way over here. Robert knew he couldn't catch it. His dad knew he couldn't catch it, but Robert didn't say anything to his dad. His dad acknowledged immediately. So God is not, we are not better than God. God is not up in heaven throwing balls over your head going, why you ain't catching? You understand what I'm saying? Either there's a game we in that he wants us to win, or he's not a good father. Because we're doing better than God. We treat our kids a certain way, we handle them a certain way, and we got a mind where we're taking them. They may not like it, they may push back on it, all that, but when it's over, we know where we're trying to get them. We got an idea in our head, and it ain't child abuse when it's over. We're trying to get them to a place where they can survive in a world that does not care who they are. Get them to survive in a world that when you need a job, ain't nobody gonna give it to you just because they feel sorry for you. What I found, like I said about the man yesterday with no shoes, what I found so striking, would touch my heart so much, was the man had $10 in his hand. So even if he had been out begging, when he was approaching me, I thought, oh man, this dude gonna come up here begging me for some money. Mm-mm. He had on one slipper, and he just said to me, can I buy some shoes from you? And when I saw the money in his hand, I thought, oh, my God, this man got money, and he's asking me to buy shoes for me, right? So I'm not going to reject him. Why are you talking to me? Do I look like a shoe store? No, I'm thinking here the whole stereotype you have of these people that walk up to you and all is so different. He's got money. He's looking for a shoe. He's willing to buy one. But you don't have one to give him. Why do we make ourselves always better than God? Some kind of way God, even though David said, I was young and now I'm old. And one thing I have never seen, the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. So that says to me then, I got to get up in the righteous group so that I don't have to worry about my seed. God gonna take care of it if I do what I'm supposed to do. He says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Nor their seed begging bread. He says one thing. Now I'm young, now I'm old. One thing I haven't seen. People say, well, I've seen it all the time. Well, then you make God a liar. See, this is what I get mad about. Happy Father's Day. Okay, great. God, Jesus said, speak to him like this. Our Father. Now, if we knew that God was the kind of father that most people put him in, what we do, though, is we say, well, it's mysterious. God work in mysterious ways. Yeah, but who told you that? See, if that's something someone told you, that's fine. But does the Bible say that? The Bible tells you in all kind of places, God will tell you how he do stuff. Here's Jesus plainly saying to his disciples, if I was with him, saying to you, White, you are starting to get on my nerves. You're taking too long to learn this lesson. Bring him to me. I'm going to teach y'all one more time. So he asked his dad, he asked him, how long has he had this? So we all understand, why is this a problem? He's had this since he was a kid. Yeah, man, it's been long, it's a bad thing. It's ugly, it doesn't make sense. He's had it since he was a kid. Well, why can't we just say, well, God had made him that way, so you know, hey, it is what it is. Jesus just wanted to understand, make everybody clear. He's had this since he was a child. Then the father makes the most amazing statement, which is what's tied to the title of my message. As Jesus is talking to him, he says, the man says in verse 22, after Jesus asked him how long he had it, he said, oftentimes it cast him in the fire and into the water. Can you imagine what this father's been going through? His son's getting thrown in a fire and then into the water to try to destroy his kid. He says, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Now, it would have been easier for Jesus to just say, man, you got yourself something there. And, you know, God, maybe he'll do it, maybe he won't. We'll pray for you, but this is a rough condition. It's been this way his whole life. And what I guess I try to get people to understand is I think that when I say that in my thesis about acknowledging our own unbelief, at least if we can acknowledge our unbelief, we might at least be able to know the mountain is there. You know, Brother Chapman and I were talking one time, because last week they have this kid on the Guinness Book of Records who literally juggles Rubik's cubes and solves them. So as he juggles, he has three Rubik's cubes. He's going like this, and as he's doing this, he's literally turning them while he's doing them. And he's watching this, and when it's over within, I think it's about 4 minutes somewhere in there, he solves all three Rubik's cubes and poof, puts them down. Now, for most of us, we would say, that's impossible. Yeah, but he just did it. How can, you know, maybe if you've never seen before, you say, that's impossible. Oh, no, he did it, right? There's some who can solve them faster, one, two, but he had to start somewhere. But he did something that looks impossible. Now, we could all walk away and say, well, you know, he's stupid. Who wants to waste their time learning how to juggle Rubik's cubes and solve them? That's because you know you can't. And don't get me wrong, you might say, well, I might say that. Well, I mean, I don't care about no Rubik's cube. But, I mean, I think that'd be quite impressive if I could get up here and say, you know, y'all, I want you to understand something about the Bible. And while I'm up here juggling these Rubik's cubes, you know, because you know I want to be impressed, y'all, right? I'm just juggling my Rubik's cubes. And y'all are like, what is he doing? And then all of a sudden I'm like, see, nothing's impossible. And y'all be like, ooh. But I'm going to say, man, now, who cares about that? That don't make no sense. That because you can't do it. Now, I'm talking about y'all telling me that because you can't do it. And you get that man, celebrate that young man and say, that's pretty impressive. That's impressive. Say that, okay? Why won't you say? Well, because. But Jesus comes out and says, okay, watch me, y'all. He didn't say that to the man. He didn't say, well, he's had it all his life, and oh, I don't know what we're going to do. Okay, well, you know, ooh, wee boy, this is rough. But now you understand, or you should. He's had it since he was a kid. The father explains what you're looking at. He throws him in the fire, throws him in the water. And he's had it since he was a kid. But the man says, if you can help us, please have compassion on us. He understands that there's some healing. He believes there's healing for this. And then Jesus doesn't say to him, I'd love to help you. Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible to people that believe. All things. This thing is possible if you believe it. You see, in other words, it's like, why do we keep heaping it on our Father who says, I'm all about faith? And everybody keeps talking about they got it, but then when nothing is happening in certain areas, they want to blame me. They want to change my character to some kind of way, well, I might do it for you, but not for you. I may do it for that one, but not for this one. And then the miracles that do happen, they say, well, I did those because I chose to do that for them. Now, let me tell y'all the danger of this that we got going on right now. The danger of something like this for me, which is why I don't believe it, would be I would have to sit here and say, well, obviously, I'm a special guy. I'm serious. All my life, God just makes stuff happen. Just a special kind of guy. Yeah, I mean, I remember one time being in the plant And I was in there getting ready to get some rubber out of the machine at this plant, and it's called an expeller. It's got a big churning blade in it. And what happens is you put your hand and you have to pull the rubber out physically, but they have to lock the power out. Well, I was in there. I had just pulled it out, and the machine starts. And I look up, and the guy's looking down at me like this, because he realizes had he started it 2 seconds earlier, he'd have snatched my arms completely off my body. My response, thank you, Jesus. My response was not, see, God watch over me like nobody else. That wasn't my response. My response was, thank you, Father, for having mercy on my soul. I could go on with story after story after story of things where God has moved miraculously in my life. So does that make me just some kind of special guy? No. I'm telling you, as we keep building our faith in God and who He is, God will respond to your faith, not your personality, not your person, not who you are. He'll respond to your faith. If you say He can't, He won't. You ain't got to worry about that. God ain't going to override none of that stuff we're doing. How do you think the children of Israel did not get into the promised land? The Bible says God sent, they sent 10 spies, 12 spies in there. Two of them came back and said, we can do this. 10 of them came back and said, ain't no way. We went in there, yep, the land is good, everything's wonderful, but they got some giants up in there. And we were like grasshoppers to them. And they convinced the other people not to go. And the Bible says God was grieved because He had had enough. It was like, look, wait a minute. I done brought y'all out of Egypt. I done all these miracles. I've done all this stuff in your life. And you still won't go in because you're scared of giants? You're comparing yourself to them, and that's why you're afraid, instead of comparing them to me. I'm going to give you the land. You don't take the land. I'm going to give it to you. And when I give it to you, you're going to have it. You don't have to worry about it. I'm going to do it. And God says, you know what? I've had enough. And the Bible says Caleb and them was like, please, please don't do this. Let's go in. And finally, God said, that's it. Shut it down. And then after they heard it and Moses told them God was angry, they said, that's okay. We're going now. God, Moses said, don't go up there. God said, He ain't with you now. See, sometimes you got to understand when God closed the door, leave it closed now, because they were like, oh, no, we're going. We're going to go. They went up. And the Bible says they got beat down really bad, like, and they were chasing them like bees because God said, I'm not going with you. So they spent 40 years in the wilderness till they died. And the Bible says that after the last one of them died, God told Joshua, now it's time to go in. And Caleb, who had gone in at 45 years old, went in and said, we can do this. They didn't let him. At 85 years old, Caleb said, I am as strong today as I was when I was 45. Give me my mountain. He said, mount up, Caleb. And Caleb went in there and took all the land he wanted at 85. But you know, but it's amazing to me how people can read all these stories in the New Testament and claim them. Well, this one was sick, and Paul had that, and this, and this, and this. But they don't go claim that. They won't go claim that Joshua at 45 had a bunch of people around him who had no faith and did not want to take what was theirs and had to wait till they all died. And God said, okay, now is your time. 85 years old, a man rises up and goes and takes. Well, God, why y'all don't want that one? Instead, it's like, well, you know what happened, you know, oh, that must be old age, I feel it. Really? Why? Because that's what you see. And because it's what you see, it's what you expect. And that's why Jesus tried to make it clear to them, right? How long has he had this? The Father has been watching this since he was a child. But he comes to Jesus and says, please, I took him to your people. They couldn't do it. Can you please do it? And Jesus says, anything is possible if you can believe it. And what was the man's response? Look at the next verse. 24. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. See, there's some stuff he believed. I know God can do it. I understand God can do it, but I don't believe this.
Look at this. My kid's going in the fire, in the water, in the fire, in the water. He's been doing this since he was a kid. Help me, Lord. I believe you can do anything, but I can't believe this. Help my unbelief. See, once he acknowledged that I don't believe you can do this, God, I know you can do it mentally, but I don't believe that you can do this. All of a sudden, he acknowledges his lack of faith in God. Now, the real faith in God can kick in. And I believe this is so much of what we see today. Think about everything that goes on in our lives, the stuff that don't get fixed. It's because we really don't believe ourselves is going to get fixed. If we're honest. I mean, if we're honest now, I'm just saying, if we're honest, if you're honest, white, you know, if you're honest, this is why sometimes if you walk up to certain people, you know you don't talk about it because you know deep down in your mind, you know you don't really believe that. That's why many times when I talk to God about things, when I'm talking to you, Father, I look up at the sun and the moon and I say, I'm still struggling with this. You got to help me because all the science and everybody keeps talking about the earth is way more than 6,000 years old. Father, I'm struggling, but I believe you, but help my unbelief. You did all of this. You said you did it. You said by faith we're supposed to know you did it. And we are only 6,000 years old as a race. That's what you're saying. Help me where I don't believe that. Because it's just so hard. It's so hard for me really to believe right now. Because if I really believe this, then nothing would be impossible to me. And that is that Jesus Christ is literally rose up and is in heaven. I know we talk about it and everybody got religions. And we all got religions. And we talk about God and we talk about all that stuff. But if you're really who you claim you are, then it would mean then that since you're our Father, at least all these earthly fathers I see, oh, they don't have no problem telling you. I'm telling you right now, if I did anything to any of these people's child, they just going to say, yeah, you know, I like you, Pastor. You a good dude. I know you ain't mean to just slap him upside his head. And then I slap him again. And the kid look at you like, oh, Daddy, I know you're not about to let Pastor slap me again. And I just slap him. Now, they ain't did nothing. They ain't said nothing wrong, nothing. I said, man, get out of the way. That's not going to happen. Oh, but God. Oh, the devil can slap us around, do whatever. But what makes it even more insulting is we say it's God. The only time God lets you get slapped around, the only time you see when you're training a boxer or anybody to get beat around is in sparring. You send them in, and you got somebody else on the other side with a helmet on their head, and everybody's going at it. But they also know, I'm training you. I ain't trying to kill you. Muhammad Ali would go in there and spar, and he'd hit the other person doing his thing. But the other person also knew, if they started getting the best of him, you better back up a little bit. Because you don't want to hurt them. That's not what you're in there doing. We're training. Why would God put the devil in your life to destroy you? All of a sudden, you're in a situation you can't even get out. And then you say, well, it's because it's God, White says. It's God. It's God. It's you, God. Well, then what Jesus you following? If you had been following, please tell me where the chapter changed. Where did you walk out of the book? What chapter did you walk out of the book? Because Peter, I told him, you faithless, y'all need to go fast and pray. And then all of a sudden, we get over to Acts, and Peter's standing up there going, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have, I'm finna give it to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the man got up and walked. Now, y'all know the truth, and that's why I love just being coming here. Y'all know y'all think I'm crazy. Now, there's some people thinking, I don't know why Pastor so hopping on that. I mean, just let it go. People think I'm crazy. That you think you know it. You know deep down in your mind that right now if somebody rolled in here in a wheelchair, y'all be like, oh, I hope Pastor don't do nothing. Because you know in your mind what's going to happen. Pastor going to walk over there and grab that man. And then something wrong going to happen. And not only y'all going to be embarrassed, but we going to get sued. Because people in wheelchairs don't walk. We all know that. That's why they in the chair. Come on, y'all. We build ramps for them. I'm just trying to be real. Now, hear that, y'all. I'm talking to myself. Come on, White, you know that. That's why when people come, you be like, you hoping they don't, you preach that message, you be looking the other way. Because you know if you catch their eye, they might actually look for something. But Peter told that man, look on us. Y'all know how it is when you're going down the street sometimes. I've said this before, you know, and you don't look over there because you already know they want something. They got the cup in their hand and a little sign saying homeless.
and they coming down the side of the road by the cars, and you looking like this. You just keep looking straight. Because you know if you look over there, he going to be like this. Can you give me something? And now you got to acknowledge, no, I'm not giving you something, or no, I don't have it, or whatever. And so Peter says, look on us. And the Bible says a man looked on them as if he was about to get something. But he didn't even expect what he got. Peter says, silver and gold I don't even have. But what I got, I'm going to give you. And told that man to get up out of that chair, and that man leaped up. And the Bible says it's the same kind of thing. He had been that way from a baby. Now, y'all know, and I know it. I acknowledge it. I'm talking to myself in the mirror at times. I say, now, God, come on now. I'll just be honest with you. Maybe it's just better to live the Christian life the way we tend to live it. And that is that it's easier to have a God that we can say. He can do anything, but he doesn't do those things anymore because he just don't do that anymore. Well, then you're going to have all those ways, those other people who challenge you to say, well, how do you know he ever did it? Your book say that. That's why everybody say your book just made up of a bunch of things. I remember one kid told me, I said, man, you know, it's something if you could do some of the things Jesus did. They said, yeah, like Harry Potter. And I thought, wow. So Jesus getting compared with Harry Potter because they think it's magic. Jesus worked magic, but you ain't about to do it, okay, kind of thing. And that's how we think and how I think. And so now I'm struggling because I don't want to do this no more. You know, I mean, seriously, I don't want to be just, this is like, only a few of you all may be able to identify with this because unless you done played like a pro sport, maybe all y'all can. I'll say it that way. I ain't going to try to embarrass none of y'all. I don't know what y'all done did. But if you played a pro sport and you lose every year, oh, Lord, and please, if you get to the championship and you lose every year. I remember when the Saints used to play and people wore bags on their head. Some of y'all might not remember that back in the day. I mean, they wore bags on their head, literally, because the Saints couldn't even win a game. Who wants to work for Jesus? I'm just saying. Not up here, anyway. Well, you'll never win a game. Is that like a job? So every Sunday, your job is to come up here and talk about a Jesus that did all kind of stuff, but he don't do it no more. Try to convince people that they should keep coming back to hear about this Jesus that do this thing, but he don't do them anymore. Unless he decides to do them, but you can't tell them how or when or why. And the book you read, every time Jesus talks, he says something opposite of what you're saying. I would rather be sitting where y'all at. Let some other body get up and try to explain that. I mean, it's like I told Brother Chris, and I think it makes sense, like the message you did on God cares. It's wonderful. I'm glad, and I'm glad he does. But that's why I get to come right behind this and say, you know how? By doing something. There are things God does. You go look at all them scriptures that he would read. In there, God says, I do something. Think about this. Your child is sick. You have a baby. Your baby's sick. Are you going to do something? Are you going to try? Why do we make ourselves so much better than God? God's just sitting in heaven going, just hold on. You'll learn. So you get a baby, brand new baby, baby teething, but it's okay. Don't give them no Tylenol. Don't give them nothing. Just let them tease their way through. They'll toughen them up. No, you have compassion on your child. That's your baby crying. That's your baby saying, you know, I'm hurting. Can you help me? And you're doing anything and everything you can to help them. And if anybody dare put their hands on them or do so, you ain't about to tolerate that. But God just got this thing. You know, his training program is so much different from ours. He kicks you around and beats you down, tells you stuff he can do, but then he doesn't do it. And that doesn't make sense to me. I can't do it, many times I say. But then God's always like, yeah, that's why I told you. You know, when we first started, this whole sense of go deal with faith. But in one place, it talks about all the different, when he was talking to Timothy, he compared it to all the different hard things that go on. Soldiers, and he talked about farmers, and he talked about athletes. And no athlete, Paul says, can be the best unless he performs according to the rules. And he's the best. Yesterday we watched them kids. You can run up and down that field all you want, but if you don't catch that ball, you don't score no points. You can be the fastest one. This ain't track. We playing football. You got to catch the ball. You know, sometimes that's how we do in church. We play church like we running track. When we got to catch a ball and make a touchdown, Can we score every now and then? Score! You know, guess what? God did something.
Everybody like, yeah, well, you know he does. You got to stop being so, you know, worrying about it, all that. You got to, people keep saying, you don't have to see anything.
I get it. It's not about seeing anything, but God was the one who said it. You don't see God, but you got to see movement. Somebody's on drugs. They need to come off. You know, they got to come a point where it's like, you can't just keep saying, well, you know, it's God, it's God, it's God, but they can't be delivered. I'm an alcoholic. I can't stop. It don't matter what I do. Every morning I get up, I got to go get a drink. Ain't no way to stop that. God just lets you do it. I ain't just going to drink yourself to death. Well, that's God's way. He's going to get me there. I'm going to drink myself to death. Go back. Let's look. Go to Hebrews. And let's look at what it says. We're not telling God that we don't appreciate you and we don't. No, that's not. Well, all we're saying is, God, look, this is what you told us. Look at what we said in Hebrews 3. Let's go back, Hebrews 3. Verse 16. We'll go at verse 15 through 19. While it is said today, white, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your heart as they did in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? He's asking you a question, right? Who was God upset with enough to keep them in that punishment for 40 years? Who was it, white? Who was it? Go back and look at who the people were that God kept 40 years in the wilderness till they died. Who were they? He says, but with whom was he grieved? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Sin, I say. God, I don't have any sin in my life. I'm not running around committing adultery. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. I don't have any sin that I know about. Help me with my sin. God's like, that ain't what I'm talking about. Unbelief is a sin. If I tell you you can do something, and you look back at me and tell me you can't do it because of something, that's a sin. That's sin in and of itself. God said, don't do it. And most people say, well, but you're making the people. I keep trying to get people to understand. This is not about making us feel bad, but it's also about definitely whitewashing God's reputation. We got to at least say, if I know what I would not do and what others would not do to their own children, we know it's true. You ain't going to do it. Then why put that on God? Why not say, maybe God is up there, and since he's a spirit and we can't see him, and he sent his son to walk in the flesh so that we could see what a son, the real son of God, did when he was here as a man. This is how he dealt with things. Why can't we understand that although we'll never get to where he is, we can do better? Never do you find Jesus telling somebody, well, my father might. Well, my father, it depends. Jesus took you to the, it's just like yesterday. The kids could watch what maybe Chapman does or Lynch does. What I was doing with the weed eater, they couldn't even do it now because some of them weren't even tall enough. So don't fret that you can't do this yet. But watch the technique and understand when you get old enough and tall enough, you can do this too. Don't grow up and say, well, I tried it when I was 5, 6, 7, I couldn't do it. Pick it up, try it, work at it. Some people cut, and we were joking about it. We'll say, man, maybe we should try this in the backyard because we use the sidewalk right out in front of the church. And they probably like, the pastor looked like he was drunk, edging yesterday, you know. But the point was that they was trying. So God's like, if you don't get in here and understand how this works, you'll never know. Well, you got to look at what Jesus said and at least say to yourself, you know what? You almost have to say, I don't want to believe that. I don't want to believe that. He says in verse 19, he says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. In other words, that's the reason they couldn't go in, was because they didn't believe God. And God says, that's sin. Now watch this. This is why when you look at our website, we don't ever say when it comes to healing even, watch this, that we don't believe in doctors. We don't say that. See, I try to place people where their faith can reach God. Because if you go to a doctor and you still don't believe God, you still liable to die up there. It don't matter what they give you. It don't matter what kind of medicine they give you and nothing else. Doctors make mistakes. Doctors are people. But if your faith can reach the doctor, then you need to make sure God is doing what? Touching the hand of that doctor to make sure that what? You get where you are. The idea is that we're not saying throw it all out and just try to receive. But I do say this, because Brother Chris said it last week. He used to have this problem with sinus and stuff at a certain time of the year. And he used to take Theraflu. Then he said, you know, I ain't going to do this no more. Said he kind of went through some things, and then boom, all of a sudden he didn't need it anymore. Well, you got to remember this now. When David met Goliath, people love that story. Oh, yeah, we're going to kill a giant. I'm going to kill a giant. David said, I was keeping my father's sheep, and a bear came. A bear. He said, and I snatched him. He said, and a lion came, and I snatched him. He said, and now, you uncircumcised Philistine, I'm finna handle you the same way. See, it was progression. God didn't just throw David out there with a giant. And as a matter of fact, God didn't throw him out there. David heard the giant talking. And David said, oh, hold up a minute. He looking around and all of the people ain't doing nothing because they all scared. And David said, hold up a minute. Who gonna go fight this dude? We on the winning team. We got God. What's wrong with y'all? He said, somebody give me a sword. Why? Because David had fought and fought and fought all the way up to that point. He wasn't looking for a fight, but when the fight came, he wasn't running from it. And so this is the thing about healing and other stuff. Now, I always tell people, we separate ourselves from the prosperity gospel people. See, because people say, oh, that old prosperity people, that's all y'all care about, health and wealth. Uh-uh, I done taught you enough to know. Paul said, if you want to be rich, you fall into temptation and a snare in many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. For while some have coveted after it, they have pierced themselves through and have erred in the faith. What that got to do with I'm sick? I heard something one day, made a whole bunch of sense. And it said that rich people want all kind of stuff. Sick people don't want but one thing. Mm-hmm. So you have all kind of money. But if you sick, you ain't much you can do with it. Especially if you can't get out of places and do whatever. When you sick, people want their health. God knows health is important to us. If it wasn't, then guess what? Every time we go to the doctor, all right, let's say, for instance, we know that lifting weights helps us, right? Lifting weights helps us, but we won't lift them at all. Jogging helps us, but we don't jog at all. And then we say, why are we weak, and why can't we run 10 feet? We don't lift weights, we don't jog. Okay, got it. All right, so if God says faith without works is dead, how do I build my faith? I gotta exercise it. We ain't saying go out and jump off buildings. You know, there's a movie, and I don't need to call the name of it. I'm gonna say one thing, and I'm gonna close with this. They have this program in it called the jump program. And you have to jump from one building all the way over to this other building. Now, these guys are hooked up to a computer, so really it's a computer simulation. And so the guy that's training him says, you got to let it all go. Fear, doubt, and disbelief. Free your mind. And the guy runs, boom, jumps, and goes way across, and shoom, and lands on these other buildings. And the other guy goes, okay, free my mind, free my mind, free my mind. He takes off running, and he jumps, and he's moving, and it's like, ah, and he falls. Then he hits the ground, bam, and then he comes out, and when he come out the program, he's got blood in his mouth, and he says, what happens if you die in here? He says, you die. Well, folks, think about this. Jesus is constantly going like that. Hey, you need to come out of that. Anything is possible to them that believe. Free your mind. Fear, doubt, disbelief. Believe God. Boom, and he does something. And it's like, ooh, because that's what the guy says, whoa. And then he says, okay, I'm going to try this, which is what the disciples were doing. They was trying it, and it wasn't working. Then they received God's power, and they understood something. See, we can say this all we want, but if we don't live it, I'm telling y'all, I'm a living witness. I know what I'm talking about. Bible says, not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Once you understand that and it fully takes you over, you then begin everything you deal with. You start off saying, Lord, I know I think I got skills, but I need you to help me with this. Before I do anything, please give me your mind on this. Show me why. Because I don't know what I'm really doing. I think I know, but I don't. Now what begins to happen is you start doing amazing things. Now people could come right up to you and say, man, you're amazing. Then you say, man, look, that's Jesus. I didn't know what I was going to do or how I was going to do it, but the Lord stepped in and he did it. That's how faith works, and it keeps growing and growing and growing and growing, and I'm going to end with this. I tell people this all the time, especially about sickness. If they believe that God's will is to strengthen them through sickness, they should stop trying to get well, like the man with the seizures. I will tell you right now, sir, if you're watching, if you believe God gave you that so you could work through it and carry your cross, then you need to stop asking us to pray for you for it to stop. We should be praying, Lord, help him carry his seizure cross as far as he can. But you know that ain't right. So we ain't going to pray that. If you came to me now, they diagnosed you with cancer, and you said the doctor wants to do chemo, and I said, girl, man, what's wrong with you? You need to carry your cancer cross. Die like a soldier. You look at me like I was crazy, and get up out of here, which you should. The bottom line is, I ought to be able to stand with you, stand with the doctor, stand with what we're going to do, and get this thing out of your body. We don't have to be living by a doctrine that say, well, the only way is you're going to help. Now, if you don't come up here and I put this on you and go away, you just got to stay at your house until something happens. Yeah, some people, that's why they die, because they keep looking in the mirror going, ain't nothing happening, ain't nothing happening. Well, how is it supposed to happen? You don't believe that. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't know why people don't think there's nothing wrong with understanding that. If I wheel up in here and I say, I can't do something, there's nothing wrong with saying that. If that little boy yesterday had told me, Pastor, I don't know how to use this blower, I'd have said, fine, let me show you how to do it. But he insisted. He snatched it out of my hand. He the one went to pulling till he wore himself out. And sometimes that's what we're doing in life. God's like, look, just let me show you. Let me show you first. And when I let me show you, you will see lots of things you will conquer. Every head bowed, every eye closed.